Mr. Carlson gave me an assignment, or somebody did, as far as speaking this morning on ministering to people in need. Ministering to people in need. Anybody know the chorus when Peter and John went to pray? When Peter and John went to pray, they met a lame man on the way. He held out his palm and he asked for an alms, and this Peter did say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He went running and leaping and praising God, running and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. As a child, I loved the action. But it also taught me something else. Jesus was powerful. Jesus is powerful. And that stuck with me from the time I was a child, even now through all of the years of pastoring, and now for the last 23 and a half years as a chaplain. I've been on over 1,000 deaths, 300 suicides, part of that, 1,000, 300 suicides. I just came this morning from a lady that we had to tell that her daughter was shot and killed. And she freaked, literally freaked out. How do you minister to people in need? Point one, live for Jesus. Point two, live for Jesus. Point three, live for Jesus. Conclusion? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's supposed to be resurrection. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead, but I live in this Christ of resurrection who rose from the dead, who was in a boat sound asleep. And the disciples were fearful because the waves were coming and the waves were crashing and the sea was a tumultuous mess. And these sailors were scared and they waked him up and said, "Jesus, don't you realize we're going to die?" And he looks and he says, "Peace be still." And the waves stop and the wind stops. And they look at each other and go, "Who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey." That's the Jesus that we preached, but that's the Jesus that I live every day. And you know what, dear friends? It's that Jesus, because also it says in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6 that we are the temple that he possesses and he fills. And therefore, when I'm meeting needs of people, they're going to know that. Because I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave his life for me. The only other word I want to put in there is hope. And that's 1 Corinthians 5:13. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Turn in your Bibles to love. I want to quickly go through that. Just a few thoughts here. And then we're going to go a lot of different directions. But because, in fact, this is the verse. When I was in college, Bible college, I accepted the Lord when I was 11 at a camp. I love camps and camping ministry. That's when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life. But it was at college when the Lord said to me at a time at a chapel, "Warren, I want all of you. I go, Lord, I'm saved. Warren, I want all of you. I want you to go to the altar. Oh, man, okay, whatever you want, Lord. I go to the altar, and the professor says, why'd you come forward? I don't know. I just feel like the Lord's talking to me that he wants all of me. And he took me to Galatians 2:20. And then the Holy Spirit moved in on my heart and my life and convicted me that, Warren, you're not even hanging on the cross. You're still doing selfish stuff. You need to be hanging on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And if Christ is living in me, and I am that temple through which he possesses and he controls, then therefore everywhere I go, I'm going to be walking in faith, hope, and love, and giving as he gave to me. Therefore, I'm going to be able to meet people's needs, whether knowingly or unknowingly, whether preaching Jesus or living Jesus. And as a chaplain, for me, it's mostly living Jesus. I get to preach in churches or I get to preach in chapels or whatever else. But this morning when we told that dear lady that her child was killed by gunfire, and when she started screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming, all that you can do is hurt and hurt and hurt with that individual. Because you see, that's the foundation. Jesus, 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 but it's also loving people. You're familiar with this. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, according to New King James, is what I'm reading. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. And as a chaplain, when I first started, I was kind of judgmental. How dare these people, and I still don't like it, but how dare these people take Christ's name in vain? How dare these people use the F word around me? How dare these people just are living in squalor? How dare these people to just do all the stuff they do, and I'm in this situation, and I'm just getting so frustrated. And I walk out of the different situations and scenes and deaths and whatever else I was involved in at the time when I first started. And I go, God, what's going on here? And the Lord said to me, Warren, who do you think you are? Well, hey, I'm a Christian trying to be a devout follower of Christ. Warren, I love these people. It was like God took and slapped me upside the head. And then he said this to my heart. I want you to love these people that are in need. Well, Lord, does that mean a week ago the man that I went to, and he was, I don't know if I can demonstrate this or not. Hold your Bible a minute. I walk in, and the man is like this. How do you deal with somebody like that? Dirty shoes. No socks. Snot dripping off his nose this deep, this down far. Dirty clothes. His fingers and his hands are turning white because he's clutching them, and he hurts so bad because his girlfriend, who he'd been with for 2 years, lays upstairs dead. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? And you go up and you put your hand on his shoulder and you say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And he just looks at you like, what am I going to do? If you're going to minister in people in need, you got to have the basis and the foundation. And that is crucified with Christ. And yet I'm living. Praise God. I know the resurrected Lord and Savior. Praise God. This temple is full with the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of his Holy Spirit. Praise God. When I go into a scene and I'm touching the man and I'm looking at him and I'm trying to somehow minister to him, I am not going to say a word, but the power of the Spirit is going to speak through you. Now, I never had anybody in Bible college tell me this. I never had anybody in Bible college tell me how to make a death notification, how to minister to people in need, how to minister to people that were hurting. Never really had anybody tell me that. And yet the power, dear young people, when you go into Christian ministry, or if you're not even in Christian ministry, is to love these people. Does not rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never, never fails. I remember one time, one of the deputies was giving me a rough time. I was brand new as a chaplain. I was really fed up. I thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to treat them the same way they treat me. That's a good Christian attitude, by the way. So Sunday morning, I'm reading my comics. I usually don't get my inspiration on Sunday morning from the comics. But this morning I happened to read the Snoopy and the Red Baron. And here was Snoopy on his doghouse shooting down the Red Baron, and he had this slogan, "Kill him with love." It was like the Lord just took that and pow, zapped me. Oh yeah, chaplain, you got a real good attitude to that deputy that's giving you a rough time. Just absolutely do it back to them. Thankfully I hadn't, because I knew it wasn't right. But the Lord took Snoopy and the Red Baron to say, kill him with love. Kill him with love. Kill him with love. And isn't that true with the man of Gadara? What is it, Mark chapter 5? I love that story. Because here's this man that nobody can tame. You want to talk about a man in need? My. This guy, chains can't hold him. He's full of demons. Jesus walks up, and immediately he knows who Jesus is. And he worships him. But yet the demon is still in control also, and the demon speaks. And says, who? Lord, you know, don't mess with me, because we're a legion. Well, a legion of Roman soldiers was approximately, 5,000 plus. And I don't know if this guy had that's his name. He was a pretty confident demon. And let me tell you, dear friends, I don't care how confident the demons are. I don't care if their name is Legion and they're the superior person that has a couple thousand angels underneath them. Jesus was not intimidated one bit by this demon, Legion. He wasn't intimidated at all. But because he loved and had compassion on this man, and this man fell down and worshiped him, and he commanded them to leave. And they begged Jesus, please don't cast us out. You know, there's pigs over there. Let's go to the pigs. So 2,000 ran down and drowned. And the wolves that were taking care of the pigs went away, got the rest of the villagers to come back. And they came back, and what'd they do? They found the man that was demon-possessed, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were fearful. See, this is what Jesus can do. When you're ministering to people in needs, don't be intimidated by the stench. Don't be intimidated when you walk in and there's dog poop all over the house. As a suicide I went to the other day, the guy blew his head off. I've only seen three of those in my 23 years. But you walk into the house, there's dog. Or you walk into other houses and it's a mess. There's dirty diapers. There's everything. It's filth. If you don't have the love and living in Christ, if this temple and tabernacle is not full, you're going to run panicked out of there. But as Bible college students and as students who went into the ministry, I hope and pray that you realize that the demon with the name Legion, or all of the rest of the demons, Jesus was not intimidated. Man could do nothing, but Jesus spoke, and the demons were gone. Jesus calmed the sea. Jesus calmed the wind. Jesus rose from the dead, therefore I live. Praise God. I am on the cross, but I am not living in death. I am living in life. Christ lives in me. The victory is there, and that victory can be passed along to people in need that they see your... Well, like a Mormon told me one time. As I was ministering to the family, this guy was pretty big in the church down in Salt Lake. Grandpa had died, and he happened to be there, and I came. Very quickly, they told me they were LDS. That's fine, okay. And as I was talking with the family, the man mentioned, he says, there's a quiet spirit within you. Again, he mentioned, there's a quiet spirit. Three times he told me there's a quiet spirit within me. Was that me? No. It was the wonderful Lord and Savior and power, the comforter of the Holy Spirit that was in this temple, in this tabernacle, that ministers to the needs of people. You see, that's the key. That's the foundation. What Gamaliel in Acts chapter, what is it, Acts chapter 4 or 5? Acts 5, 38 and 39, when Peter and John helped the lame man, and they were being tried for this. And he says, if this is of man, it'll go away. But if this is of God, you're going to be fighting God on this. That's true. This ministry we have is of God. It's not of man. The power that I have is of a resurrected Lord and Savior because I am crucified with Christ and He rules and He reigns and I can minister then to people's needs, into their heart and their life. Oh, I got so much good stuff to share with you. I got 5 minutes. Can I do something practical, please? This is the foundation. Okay, I wanted to give you that first. This is the foundation how I minister to people in need. If you're, how many are pastors? Anybody go to them, pastors, missionaries, even ladies or whatever, and pastors' wives or whatever? How many are interested in chaplaincy? Ministering as a chaplain in their law enforcement emergency services? Okay. If you go and make a death notification, you're ministering to somebody indeed, because you know what? You're knocking. It's the knock of death. You're going to radically change those people's lives in 30 seconds. Are you Mrs. Jones? Yes? Because all of a sudden the coroner and the chaplain's at your door at 2 o'clock in the morning? Are you Mrs. Jones? Yes? Is John Jones your husband? Yes? May we come and talk to you for a minute? What's wrong? Can we come in and talk with you a minute? Yeah, come on in. Would you have a seat? Is there anybody else in the house? You have any kids? No, I'm the only one. Well, Mrs. Jones, I'm so sorry we have to tell you this. But Mr. Jones was in an automobile accident tonight and he was killed. I'm not exaggerating, folks. In fact, it's a lot worse than that. Sometimes it's not, but most of the time it is. And then what do? You stand there and you sit there and you wait as they scream and they scream and they holler. And the women's screams, I don't know why it is with you women, but the women's screams penetrate my soul. Because it's a scream of death like you'll never hear. It hurts so bad. And you wait and you cry and you wait and you hurt. Until finally you have an opportunity to talk. And if you have an opportunity to pray, great. But that it's going to come at some point in time. Maybe toward the end, an hour or two. And they will tell you, no. I don't need you. I don't need your God. I don't need prayer. Just leave me alone. I used to get real offended at that too. And then God spoke to my heart and said, Warren, I love these people. I want you to love these people. Even when they tell me no, I want you to love them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Things to say. Do not say if you're going to a person that's lost a loved one or died or whatever. Suicide. a fatality, something critical, beside a normal death. Well, I understand. If you haven't been there, don't say, I understand. Well, God just wanted him in heaven. Don't say that. Well, it's just God's will. Now, we may know that, okay? But if you're dealing with a non-Christian person, even a Christian person, I don't even say that. Because you know what? As a teenager or a young child, they're going, I don't know who you are, man, but I don't want my dad dead. I don't want my mom dead. I want my mom right now. I want my dad right now. Don't tell me they're dead. And have a little girl get in your face and tell you that? Because they're hurting so bad? One of the greatest things we can do, like the Bible says, what is it, Psalm? Where did I put it? Be still and know that I am God. Oh, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know. One of the greatest things we can do in ministering to people in need, especially in a death or a death notification, or ministering to people when they're in death, is be still. So many people go into a scene and boom, 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 trying to solve the problem instead of just listening. Just be still. I sat with a suicide young man. Oh, this is another thing. He did not, don't say this, he committed suicide. Say this, he died by suicide. This is what suicide families are telling me. Because we all know he committed suicide or she committed suicide. But it has a stigma to it. And so a lot of the families that have gone through this and the hurt and the pain, they go, if you would please use this phrase, he died by suicide. She died by suicide. I sat with a family where their son had died by suicide in the basement. We didn't say hardly five words for an hour because the pain was so great. And just the presence of the Lord is there to minister. And sometimes it's just quiet. How long did Job's friend sit with him? How many days? 7 days. Didn't say anything for 7 days. For some of us, that'd be really hard. 7 minutes would be bad enough. But to hurt with people. And how can we do it? Because we live Jesus. I've been crucified with Christ, yes. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives. And just like the woman that found out about Jesus, she said, you know what? I've got this issue of blood for what was it, 13 years, I think it was. I know that if I touch him, I'm going to be saved. So I'm going to sneak up in a crowd, and I'm going to just touch his garment. And as I touch his garment, I know I'm going to be saved. I know I'm going to be healed. And so she did. She walked up. She touched him. And the Lord stopped and said, who touched me? His disciples said, oh, come on, Jesus. We're being jostled about in the crowd as we're walking down the path. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, there's power gone out of me. Who touched me? And I thought, you know, that's true. As the power went out of the Lord Jesus Christ to touch people, so power is going to go out of us. Not in who we are, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, power is going to go out and touch lives. Just like that Mormon. There's a spirit about you. That's right. Praise God. I pray that there always will be, because a lot of times you're not going to get to preach. You're not going to get to do anything except live Jesus and minister to the needs of hurting people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this brief just moment of time, but yet that your spirit would move within us and touch our hearts, our lives, that as we go into the pastorates, mission field, Christian service, wherever it might be, or just other employment, and we're meeting the needs of people. The only Bible they may read is us. And so help us to live Jesus. Bless this school, the faculty and staff. Bless the students. Lord, I grew so much when I was in Bible college. My love for you grew deeper. Learning about your word, witnessing and sharing and ministering in the community, Lord, bless these young people. And we thank you for them. Help us to go out of here and truly, yes, minister to the needs of people. Because you've truly ministered to us in that last song, Jesus, I Come. That was so appropriate. Yes, Jesus, it's you and I come to you. In your precious name, Lord.